Morning, everybody. Let me try to get your attention to some of the announcements really quickly. Taylor's not here, so you'll just have to bear with me and look at your bulletin, because if I say it wrong, then you'll see it correct there. There are some birthdays on there, and happy anniversary. Talks about Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You can see our goal is $1,500 this year. And then it talks about the Women's Christmas Advent. And you see there, you need to get reservations to Lori on that by noon on Friday. The Calvary Brotherhood meeting is December 7th at 9 a.m. in the morning. It's same place, same station, Rick, across the way over there. I know you're done with your study, but are we supposed to meet in that room, the Brotherhood, that day?
Uh-huh. Yeah, be in that same room.
Same room. 9 o'clock. 7th. I think that has historicals.
Yes.
And then the Sisterhood is also meeting that day at 9 o'clock. And then there's going to be a business meeting Wednesday, December 11th at 6 o'clock. And notice the Harlan Christian Youth Center is asking for donations of drinks or snacks or something like that. And you can put them out there on the pew as you come in the door, for example, make them individual kind of things, so that the people, the boys and the girls, can get those snacks, and they won't think that, you know, like me, I took a bite off the brownie and give it to them. They don't want that. So think about that. If you can help out in that way, you don't have to tell anybody. Just bring it and put it on the pew. Rick will pick it up and take it out there. I don't know about the winter approaching thermostat things, 65 degrees, but that's on there. And anything else I'm supposed to say that I didn't? Let me just say that Todd was in the hospital. He was out of the hospital. He's back in the hospital this morning. Again, that's where my wife is at with him this morning. And so if you remember him in that, you know, some of these things get really tedious, you know, and sometimes he gets pretty blue. I don't know how to cheer him up. It's tough. It's really tough. Yeah.
I hope you all read this today. I'm going to expound on it just a little bit about the finances. For 2024, our expenses have been larger than our income the whole year. And the only reason we've been able to keep our doors open is because of a very large contribution at the end of 23. Our bank balance as of October 31st was $329. Our bank balance as of yesterday was $1,800, and we have $3,400 more in expenses to be done. So we'll see what we can do. We have a very small savings, and I've had to dip into that some this year. And year to date, our weekly offering has been around $2,000, and we need about $2,500 each week to meet budget. What we need, I'm not asking you to give more. I'm not doing that. That's not what this is about. What I'm telling you is that we need people. So if you read what Pastor Mike put in the bulletin, we hope, we're praying that God is leading us, and we will know the decision that we need to make. December 8th, we will have a joint service. Hopefully that's what we're working toward with Graceway again, with us doing our music, and then Pastor David will bring the message, and then the whole congregation will be opened up to ask questions. If you're not comfortable standing and asking a question, you can write it down and we'll make sure that it's answered. But we want everyone to be comfortable and know that we're all on the same page, so that we can praise God, have more people in this building, and that's able to bring in more people into this building that God gave us. It's the most beautiful building in Fort Wayne as far as I'm concerned. And it's a great place to worship God. Keep that in your prayers. Pray for the teams of both Graceway and Calvary as we meet together and try to get questions answered both legally and spiritually. So that's what I had to say.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for even this day. It's a little bit dismal, a little bit cloudy, but Lord, you're the sunshine of our lives. You are the author and finisher of our faith. You sustain us. You bless us. You have blessed us. You will continue to bless. We ask you, Father, to hold us right in the very palm of your hand. We ask, Lord, that we will have the same the say in this service that will bless people who are here. And Lord, for those who need, you need a special touch, we pray, Father, you'll just reach out to them. There are many. And I pray, Father, you'll do that today. Be with us now as we come before your throne of grace here today. For these things I ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
You're invited to stand.
Come, ye thankful people, come. Praise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Praise the song of harvest home. We ourselves are God's own field, fruit unto his grace to yield. We can tend together shown, unto joy our sorrows grow. First the blade and then the ear, then the folk horn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we also
Lord, we're So blessed to be able to assemble once again this morning, God, to worship you. We thank you for each one that made that decision to be here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the week that you give us to have good health, God, and to assemble once again. We just thankful, God, for our church. We thank you for our pastor, and we pray for him, Lord, as he imparts your word to us this morning, Lord. May he say something, Lord, that will touch the heart of someone that may not know you as their Savior, or even suffering through toils of life that come to us all. We're all faced with this, Lord, along the way, but we have you to depend upon and to help us in every thing that we face in life if we belong to you. So God, be with us, God, this morning as we attempt to worship you. Bless the offering. May it suffice to meet the need. In Christ's name, amen.
God has done.
thanks, because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son.
I'm going to start out with reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 34. You might want to turn there if you'd like, most assuredly. But let's start with a word of prayer before we get into the scriptures this morning. Father, we know and recognize that you're sovereign in all things. Lord, we know that there are people right now today that are in this world who are searching. They don't know the blessings of being in right relationship with you through Jesus Christ, the Lord. So we pray, Father God, that you will stir and you will bring unto your throne of grace those that need to come and be blessed and be saved. And Lord, that you will use them in your great work of salvation throughout the whole world. We ask, Lord, that you be with those who are in the hospital. I think of my son Todd again today, and I know, Lord, that he's not real thrilled about being right back where he was just yesterday. But, Lord, I pray that they'll get that procedure done properly this time, and it will not give him any more problems, and he'll be able to get home this afternoon, perhaps, even yet today. Lord, there are others here who have just as great or greater needs, and, Lord, you know them. And we pray, Father, you'll just reach out and touch them. Father, if it needs for spiritual healing, even that. Lord, if it's physical, Lord, you can do that too. So we ask, Lord, that you would bless us. We're coming upon that season of Thanksgiving. Make us be a thankful people. Lord, be with us now as we endeavor to open your word. Speak to us from it. For these things I ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." The great apostle Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 19 and 20, he says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Again, Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 through 57, he says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." But what's that next part say? "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, and Paul says in Ephesians 5:20, remembering, he says, "Give thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, after a dangerous Atlantic crossing in those tiny little ships, the pilgrims came to America. And the very first thing that they wanted to do was give thanks. Now you think to yourself, as hazardous as that journey was, as toilsome, unpleasant it was, no wonder when they stepped out on terra firma, they thought, we need to give thanks. We're here. So they gave thanks. And they started that day with prayer and giving a special emphasis to the thankfulness they were to God Almighty. Someone has said this great song many years ago, "When upon life's billows you're a tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, what is it? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one." And we have to do that. You've got to slow down and count those blessings. And it will what? Surprise you what the Lord has done. You see, a lot of this is our mindset. It's our focus, where we're headed. And we get gloom, despair, and agony on me. And we get no help from the world. So the only help we're going to get is from each other as believer, priest, unto God, and the Word of God. The pilgrims became a thankful people. Can you imagine? Certainly they did. Riding across the Atlantic Ocean in that little tiny ship, which wasn't a very nice ship, wasn't a very sound ship. It was a very dangerous crossing, totally. But they made it. So there were people who were thankful to be here. There were people who then became people of hope. They got to their destination, and their destination was one in which they hoped They could do something great and mighty, and they could change the world around them. So they were thankful to be here, and then that thankfulness turned to hope. John Winthrop told us why the Pilgrims left England to begin with. He lists three very important things. First of all, he says, first they left for freedom of religion. You see, these folks were persecuted by the Church of England in England. And so they wanted to come to America so they could worship freely as the Lord God Almighty gave their conscience dictates to do so. So they were looking for freedom of religion. The second thing, they were looking for political freedom. We may not recognize it, but sometimes governments can kind of tilt the scales towards one side or the other. You said, well, I thought those people could vote. They could vote if they were landed gentry. So who was the people that got to be able to vote? The lords and the ladies and the important people. People like you and me, be quiet, shut down, shut up, and we'll tell you what to do. So they wanted to have political freedom. And, of course, they were searching for prosperity. You see, the Pilgrims were not like people today. They thought prosperity was a good thing. They thought, if I'm prosper, then I myself might be able to help someone else. If I prosper, then the strength that I have in my own self can be given out to those who are around us. Prosperity was not a dirty word to the Pilgrims. It has become so in our society today, because we're taught, even me, when I was in college, we were being taught this stuff. And that was a few years ago. But they didn't have that problem. They had the problem of looking from the other side of the scope, and they thought prosperity was a good thing. If I'm prosperous, I can help my family. I can help those who are around me. I can dictate some with power from my own prosperity. The Pilgrims understood economic hardship that was put upon them from the people of the land that were landed. If you didn't own land, you weren't going to be able to vote. So how many you think that cut down the size of the voter roll? It surely did, didn't it? The rich people owned the land. The poor people worked the land. They had no say in it. They had no vote in it. They had nothing they could do about it. And so it was a crushing load that they were fighting against. Generation after generation after generations, they looked so somehow or another to get out of this economic slavery and to have that hope of freedom be birthed in their own lives. They wanted to birth this freedom in Bible-centered, civil understanding of who the state is. They wanted to center this prosperity in brotherly love. They wanted to center this in the priorities of Scripture. Boy, oh boy. No wonder they succeeded. Winthrop wrote this. He says, "For we shall be a city on a hill, that the eyes of all people shall be upon us." You probably heard that a million times, and sometimes disparagingly so. He thought it was a good thing. Did he have in mind what Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 5? "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, where shall it be salted? You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden." I think they meant and understood all those things. Winthrop wrote, and he used that in his own evaluation of what was going on. He said, "We shall be a city set upon a hill." Now, I know that you've heard it a million times. If you didn't say that and didn't want to do that, he did. And it was in contrast to the European society that they were leaving. He said, "We shall be a city on a hill. The eyes of all people shall be upon us." You see, it wasn't just them. If they could prosper and if they could pull this off, guess what it did? It would be an infusion of courage for other people all over the place to say, "Hey, we're not going to stand for this anymore. We too want to be like the Pilgrims." In January 11, 2021, President Ronald Reagan gave his farewell address to the nation, in which he defined his vision for a shining city upon a hill. I remember him saying that. I remember the articles that were written about that, how foolish that was for Reagan to say things like that. How could he ever say such a thing as that? I praise God that Reagan didn't know anything better to do than just say what God had laid on his heart. You know, you've probably seen on the television set there's advertisement for a new movie called Reagan that's coming out. And one of the things that I had as a privilege, because my dad was in the Air Force and we went every place, all over the place. I was born in Biloxi, Mississippi. Do I sound like a Southerner? I don't know. Of course, I was just born there, and 3 or 4 days later, I was gone, never to come back again until Hurricane Camille. But nevertheless, my little brother was born in Washington State. My mom and dad didn't seem to understand the way to birth children. 6 years later, my brother was born in Washington State. My little sister was born in Berlin, Germany. I was 14 years older than my little sister. We were in Berlin when they put the wall up. Yeah. Across the hall from us in our housing, there was a Army, CIA, some kind of secret somebody, I don't know what. There was a guy that tried to crash through the wall in Berlin, and there was kind of this little bit of no man's land out there, and the Russians, of course, shot him, killed him. He lay there, half in and half out of that truck for about 5 days. And people were wondering, is anybody going to go out there and pick him up or whatever? And this was on the news. Our neighbor next door came, and he had this little piece of rock. Rubble. He says, that's from the wall. We were out there and we got the guy today and we brought him over to our side. He says, what I'm going to do with this, if you don't mind, I'll square it up for you and I'll put a plaque on it. And he did. I should have sold that plaque 20 years ago because everybody's got a piece of the rock now, but not then. But you see, when Mr. Reagan went to Berlin, the wall was up, of course, and he said these alarming political words. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. If you're talking about the wonderful freedom you have in communism, why do you have to put walls up, barbed wire, and shoot people who are trying to leave your country? If it truly is all that marvelous and wonderful. Well, it's not that marvelous and wonderful. It still isn't, actually, and those kind of things. But tough times, difficult circumstances, those are the things that teach us things, valuable things. Those things drive us to get to the basics of things. Get all the clutter out. Get to the reason. Get to the foundation. And when we do that, then God begins a process in our lives by replacing despair with hope. It can drive us to greater heights when we give our hearts and our minds to Christ. Unbeknownst to us, unimaginable to us, God can do that. He can strengthen us in ways in our faith that will turn the darkness into dawning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31 says, hast thou not known, that's a question mark, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. when I do a funeral, I always read that passage. To me, it's one of those great passages of encouragement in our life. One of Europe's leading doctors was imprisoned by the Nazis in the concentration camps. And during that time, he noticed something that marked the survivors from death. It wasn't physical health. It wasn't literal strength. But what made the difference between those who survived and those who died? You know what he thought it was? Hope. Hope. He said hope was the thing that would look beyond the barbed wire. Look beyond all the torture. Look beyond all the death. All the cruelty. All the insidious demonic of the Nazi regime. Look beyond that. And see a greater day in the Lord. Those without hope, those die. They die. Listen, the Bible never denies that life is hard. It doesn't. Life is hard for everybody. You say to yourself, well, I don't know about that. If I had a couple $1 million and blah, 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 I'd be fine. Isn't it amazing how many people who are very wealthy, sometimes they commit suicide, don't they? Sometimes their life is so messed up with drugs and other things that you would think to yourself, what is wrong with these people? What's wrong with them? They don't have hope. All the comforts, all the wealth, all that doesn't give you hope. It doesn't bring you up. Isaiah said, living in very difficult times, that he never lost hope. Everything that matters in life hangs on our understanding of who God is and how he loves us and how he wants to minister in our life. The God of the Bible is the creator God that makes everything. The God of the Bible is the God who hung the moon and the stars and the planets, the God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and gave his life on Calvary's tree that we might be saved. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him, created them. God doesn't measure time by clocks. Do you know that? One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. 2 Peter says this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Then he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Sometimes don't we think, okay, come on through. As some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord God Almighty loves you. The Lord God Almighty knows what your deepest needs are. He knows what those superficial needs are. He knows you. In Revelation, John writes, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. In verse 4, he says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, one of the things that I don't like is funerals. But I've taken a tact differently for about 20 years in that I'm not talking about death here today. I'm talking about the creator of life here today. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'm talking about putting our faith and trust in him today. Might not be able to do anything for Aunt Sophie or Uncle Bob. Who knows? But he can do something with us. The first sermon I ever preached was a sermon by our former man that lived over in South Whitley. And I used to go over there on Sunday afternoons and preach the same sermon that I preached here. And it was a beautiful, beautiful house. It was a mansion. But they made it into a retirement home. And there were probably about 20, 25 people there. And they had a big room. That's where they would put the chairs out. That was the place we would meet. And so one day, I got there a little early. And I went in. So they were preparing. And so I kind of sat in the back. And this old fellow come up and sat down beside me. He says, "They're going to have church again today, I think." I said, "Yeah, I think that's what they're doing, setting up the chairs and stuff like that." He says, "Yeah." He said, "You know, I'm a farmer." I didn't know that. "Okay, you're a farmer." He says, "You know what?" I thought, "Boy, this is going to be something." I said, "No, I don't know what." He says, "You know, you have to plow the field, then plant the seed. And then you harvest. And then you plow the field again. Plant the seeds and you harvest." He says, "The Lord is doing that in our lives. He plants the seed. He plows the field. He wants a harvest. And it will give us a harvest." He said, "You know that guy that preached here last week? He said, "He did a pretty good job." I thought, "Wait, that was me." "Yeah, he did a pretty good job." One of the ladies in that group came up. I've been doing it two or three times, I guess. And she came up and she said, "You know, Pastor Mike," she said, my husband was a pastor." I said, "Oh, well, that's wonderful." And she said, "I don't mean to tell you this to give you false encouragement. I just want to encourage you." She said, "My husband never preached one sermon as good as you preached last Sunday." Whoa, I'm telling you, that's a heavy load to carry around, isn't it? Wow. Maybe she was thinking of somebody else. I don't know. But we have God's promise. Many times, I've talked about Sonia's brother who got polio in Alabama from the vaccine, of all things, to get it from the vaccine. And the next time I see him, he's not going to be walking like that. He's going to have two good legs. Listen, my son asked me questions. I don't know how to answer them. I don't know how to answer them. "Dad, why me? What have I done?" Well, he's not perfect, that's for sure. But I don't think God works that way. "Dad, why me?" Listen. He's in the hospital right now. One of these days, he's paralyzed from here on down. But one of these days, he's going to walk. He's not going to get weary. He's going to run. He's going to mount up like wings of eagles. And his smile is going to be on his face from ear to ear. And you're saying, "Are you looking forward to that day?" Actually, I am. I don't want him to die, but I want to be looking forward to that day. They did something. I my wife was here today, she could tell you what it was. It's not a catheter. It's some other kind of thing. They stick in your stomach, some of the other, and that's not for, can you say these things? That's not for urine. It's for feces. And at the hospital, the girl sticks it in there, a nurse, I'm sure, and my wife, she's a very cantankerous nurse. She says, I don't think that's right. And the girl said, well, and she something. She said, there, look there, it's draining. Okay, all right. Guess where they're at today? They're back out there getting that whatever it is put in right. Because it was not put in right the other day. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to that girl. I'm sure she did her best she could possibly do and all those kind of things. I thought she'd done really, really good. But listen, we all make mistakes. We all do. She's, I'm sure, probably a very dedicated nurse and given her life to that and probably has ministered to people in marvelous and wonderful ways physically and all those kind of things. But she missed the spot the other day. But somebody got it right today. And that's what matters, doesn't it? What happened yesterday doesn't matter. You're saying to yourself, well, they didn't stick two holes in your stomach. No, that's true. That's true. But listen, we need to look beyond the everydayness. The everydayness can be good, can be wonderful, you know, all kinds of things can come to us from the bountiful love of God in all kinds of ways, unsuspectingly and all those kind of things. I think Vondell was razzing me this morning about going hunting or something. Listen, I'm going to go again. And one of those deers are going to take the wrong move. They're going to go to the wrong spot. They're going to go by that tree stand I have over there in Jerry's Woods, and I'm going to shoot her or him, and I'm going to put her in the freezer, and we're going to have lots of good venison. You say, well, I wish you didn't even say that, Pastor. From the good grief, how horrible is that? Listen, guess what? Did you know deers die too? Yeah, they do. I'm going to die. I don't think I'm going to die from eating venison, though. It'll be something else. We're all headed that way. But in the interim, it's what matters. I don't even remember being born. Do you? Well, good. I thought maybe I was the only one. The interim is what matters. How we conduct ourselves. How we allow ourselves to be used to minister to other people. We do that a lot. Sometimes we don't even realize it. And that's really good. But we are bought with a price. We're not our own. And we've been commissioned to minister Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And they're out there, friends. They're out there. And so we need to be dialed in to the opportunity of what God gives us to minister on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes it happens frequently. Sometimes it's in between lulls and those kind of things. Sometimes you probably have done that. Oh, gosh, why didn't I say something? You missed the opportunity. But God is gracious. He'll give you another chance. He'll give you another chance. We live in a world that's divided. Light and dark. Good and evil. The people of God and Satan's group, There's nobody in between, one side or the other. Oh, Elsie, I heard a good word this morning. I forgot about that. Ohio State won a football game yesterday, didn't they? Yeah. Who did they beat? Indiana. Here's Elsie over there. He's rooting for Ohio State. He should be rooting for the Hoosiers, shouldn't he? You know, it doesn't really matter. It's just entertainment. It's just fun. That's the way we go through life. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes in between, sometimes high, sometimes low, sometimes very fulfilling, sometimes empty. Sometimes we miss the mark totally. But we're here to tell people that Jesus can tear down that wall, a partition between God the Father and sinful man. It's always good news. Whether they receive it or not, it's still good news. Father God, thank you for the day you've given us, even this gloomy day. Father, we ask you to be with us as we're coming to this point in the service this morning. I pray, Father, that maybe there's that one here today who's been wavering. They understand that the Holy Spirit is really speaking to their heart. And you're telling them to come and repent and receive Jesus as Lord of your life. Maybe, Lord, today, even today, they'll surrender. Lord, maybe there's someone here today that life is so confusing. It is so filled with ugliness and hurt. Lord, minister to them. Lord, there's someone here today that you've spoken to and you asked them to do something ministerially for you. I pray, Father, they'll be willing to do that. Lord, I thank you for all those that are here at Calvary who use their gifts and their talents for you. And they bless us and help us to be a blessing to all we meet as well. And Lord, reach out to those people all over the world whose governments are so tyrannical, they're so demonic, they don't even want their people to have a Bible. They don't want to have anyone witness to them the truth of God. Lord, tear them down and set them free. Be with our president and those who are in authority over us. Be with our police, our nurses, our doctors, and those who minister to us. All very fallible human beings, but bless them today. Now, Lord, I ask you to speak to our hearts. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand up. We have a song of invitation this morning. If you have something to make public today, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. You don't have to be my permission. This is an altar here. Come up and pray if you need to pray, whatever it might be. But obey the Lord.
Just as I am.
Be careful out there. I think it's not too bad out there. It's a little bit wet this morning, but be careful anyway as you go home. And let me have a closing prayer with us. Father, you're so wonderful. You're way out in front of us. You're clearing the way. You're presenting to us the way of salvation, the way of hope, the way of life. Help us to follow you. Help us, Lord, to lay aside any of these weights that so easily beset us, as the song said, and follow you. Lord, we pray as a group, as a church here at Calvary, we would lift up the name of Jesus. We're living in a town and a city that needs to hear about Jesus, needs to hear the Bible. We pray, Father, you'll do so and bless our community through us. And we'll say thank you for using us, Lord. Now, Lord, as we proceed out of this place this day and head towards Thanksgiving, I suspect each and every one of us here today will have a great Thanksgiving meal. Thank you for those things, Lord. For these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to that right or left and say good morning to that neighbor.